Before Cyrus reads us our psalm for the day, our scripture, I wanted to say a couple of things about it. We've just had these two wonderful, I'm trying to find my script, my text here on my, it'll come in here in a minute. Or not. So much for technology, right? So the psalm that that Cyrus is going to read for us is Psalm 148. It's one of the last five psalms in the book of Psalms. And all these last five psalms are all great songs of praise. So you will hear in this one the praise of all creation being called to praise God. So I want you to listen for the different types of creation that you might hear. In the first half, it'll be cosmic. And in the second half, it comes more down to earth, but it's still pretty mysterious. So listen carefully to the types of creation that you might hear as we listen to Cyrus read Psalm 148.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights, praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his host, praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you shining stars, praise him, you highest heaven, and you waters above the heavens. Praise him, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He established them forever and ever, he fixed their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters and all deeps. Fire and hail, snow and frost, stormy wind fulfilling his command. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Wild animals and all cattle, creeping things and flying birds. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth. Young men and women alike, old and young together, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His glory is above earth and heaven. He has raised up a horn for his people, praised all for his faithful, for the people of Israel who are closed to him. Praise the Lord for the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us.
All those things praising the Lord. Even the weather. And God commands them in that song to praise God, to join together. And this is what we do at Christmas, is it not? To join together in the praise of God for sending God with us in Jesus, the Christ child. As I was pondering this poem this week, this psalm, it's been occurring to me that when I say Holy One, we're used to that in church, addressing God as Holy One. When I say Holy One, I'm really saying not just God the Holy One, but I'm saying Holy One. Imagine it in your mind with one as all caps. Holy One. The more we learn about the universe, the more we learn about quantum physics and energy, the more we learn about how we react together as people and how emotions, fear, or love move through communities, the more we know that we are really One, with all capital letters. And it is a holy one that we are part of with God. It says in Genesis that we are made in God's image. Does that mean we are just a picture of God? Or does that mean that we hold something of God also within our souls? I think both. And if we look around the room here, Look how many different pictures of God there are. And if we add the psalm of creation that we just heard, more pictures of God in the cosmos, in the monsters of the deep, in the sleet and the snow and the hail and in the sun and in the creeping, crawling things and the birds. And at the end of the psalm, God says, or the psalmist says, "And God will raise up a horn for all the faithful." All the people and all the faithful. I was caught by that phrase, "God will raise up a horn." What could that possibly mean? Like a trumpet? Like a cornucopia that we have at on Thanksgiving, that horn of plenty? I'm not sure exactly what horn the psalmist had in the psalmist's imagination or in the Hebrew tradition, but what it means to raise up a horn is to give dignity, fame, and honor. Dignity and honor to all God's people. And I, putting it in the context of this psalm, think all God's creation. The Holy One. That we are individual and yet diverse parts of, unique and yet connected. Now there is a second scripture for today that I decided to tell a story about rather than have Cyrus read, because I liked the joyfulness of this psalm. It is a sad scripture. It is part of the Christmas story that we don't often hear. It seems that after the Magi came to Bethlehem, and this story is in the Gospel of Matthew, well, part of it is, the Magi came to Bethlehem and presented their gifts. If you remember, they had asked directions of King Herod, and Herod had said, "Oh, please tell me where that you find the child so that I too may go and honor him." And we know when we read that Herod does not mean to honor this child. He sees the child as competition for king of the Jews. Herod was a Jew, but he had completely bought in to the Roman Empire way of being. In many ways, he was a traitor to his people. However, when the Magi get ready to leave Bethlehem, an angel comes, as it does often in Matthew in the first chapters, and warns them in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to return home by a different way. And then an angel comes after a time to Joseph to warn him. For you see, when the Magi did not come back to Herod, and who knows how long he waited, some say 2 years, that baby Jesus was 2 years old then, but we don't know. But when the Magi did not come back, Herod was angry. And Herod was worried. Who was this child that was going to usurp him? So Herod got ready to send his soldiers to Bethlehem to slaughter all of the children under 2. It's a sad, sad, sad story. It's not a story we like to hear. It might be a story that reminds us of the agony of some of the children that are on our border, separated from their parents, not being slaughtered, and yet in a kind of living death, in internment, in cages. An angel comes to Joseph and warns him, "Please get the child out of here. Flee to Egypt." So they become refugees going to Egypt. And there's a legend around this story. It goes like this. In that little house in Bethlehem where Jesus and Mary and Joseph lived, there was a house, little humble house spider, who would make her little webs, and it would collect the bugs and the gnats so that they would not fly around the baby Jesus. One night, this spider was awakened in the middle of the night by a great hustle and bustle. She saw that her family, as she thought of them, was getting ready to leave. They were packing all their things. The donkey was at the door, and they were rushing out the door, and spontaneously, that little spider dropped herself down into Mary's cloak and went with them. They hurried down the dark streets, the side streets, to avoid all the clamor and the chaos that was happening in Bethlehem as the soldiers rode into town. And they slipped out a side gate, hopefully unnoticed, until Joseph heard a guard cry out, "Look, look, there goes a family." And the captain of the guard said, "Quick, go after them." Joseph knew that territory, and so he went down creek beds and side pathways and finally found himself up in the rugged hills around Bethlehem. Instead of going across the desert wilderness in a straight path to Egypt, he was up in the hills where they could hide more easily. And they found caves, cave after cave after cave. And when Joseph finally found a cave that looked so deep that no one would ever find them, they slipped into that cave and they went far back into it. Now the little spider and baby Jesus, that squirming toddler by that age, that time, had slept through most of this. And dawn was coming. Joseph slipped out of the cave and the little spider jumped on his shoulder and he went out to see if the soldiers had followed him. Sure enough, way across in the distance, he could see a group of soldiers headed toward the hills. He just hoped and prayed they were deep enough in the cave that no one would think to look there. All day long they waited, and well, I guess it was nighttime by that time. All night long. And the little spider wondered, "What can I do? What can I do to help my family? They seem to be afraid of these people that are coming. I wonder if they're going to hurt them." Finally, the spider thought, "Well, I can do what I always do, what I do best. I will weave a web." And so after that sundown glimpse of the soldiers, when Joseph slipped back into the cave, the little spider hopped off at the entrance and began to weave. Now, she had never woven a web this big before in her life. She was just a little house spider. She just had little webs. But she wove and she wove all night. And different patterns and different designs came to her she had never imagined. And in the morning, as the sun was coming up, and she could hear the soldiers getting closer and closer as they looked in each and every cave, there was this big, beautiful web over the entrance to the cave where Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus were hiding. The spider crept up in the corner just as the soldiers came around and looked, and just as they were looking into this particular cave, the sun rose and shone upon that spider's web, and it was beautiful rainbow colors. And the little drops of dew from the evening were sparkling like tiny little diamonds. The soldiers, even those big old gruff soldiers doing their job, stopped in awe. And they stood there looking. And their captain came up and said, "What are you doing? Search the cave." And then he saw the beautiful web as well. And he too was in awe. And as he looked at it, he realized it covered that whole entrance. Oh, he thought, that web must have taken days to build. If it covers the whole entrance, no one has broken through it. They can't be in there. And so he called off the soldiers from looking inside that cave, and he says, "No one's in there. The web's not broken. No one's been there for days. On to the next one." And on the soldiers went, looking in the other caves. Joseph waited all night. And when he was sure, all day that day, and into the night, and when he was sure that he could no longer hear any soldiers, he bundled up Mary and the child and the donkey, and breaking just the edge of that web, and he realized how grateful he was for this gift from some unknown spider. Why had a spider woven a web just at this place? Breaking just the edge, he led his little family out onto the path and headed farther into the hills where they could catch a different road down to Egypt. And the little house spider, well, she jumped back into Mary's cloak. She settled down and perhaps sighed and perhaps smiled to herself, if spiders do such a thing. She was so happy that her family was safe. And the story goes is that she went all the way to Egypt with them, and she and her descendants lived with them in Egypt, in their little house there, and they would spin their small webs so that the bugs and the flies could be caught and not bother the people. And then, years later, when Joseph and Mary and Jesus returned to their homeland and to the city of Nazareth, one of the descendants of that little spider went with them. Some people tell this story to explain why we put tinsel on Christmas trees. Little spider webs of tinsel. I like that. But I also like the fact that this story reminds us how we are all connected. We are connected to the creatures of the earth. We are connected to one another. So perhaps as we go out into this second week of Christmas, where we celebrate a Happy New Year, we can ask ourselves, how do I remember the connections in that holy one? How do I remember the connections with the creatures of the earth, with the wind and the rain and the cosmos? How do I remember the connections with all those people around the world so different from me? The people who perhaps are grieving at this time of year, the people who are oppressed, the very people at our borders. How do I remember and pray for this connection and remember that we are each like the spider, we each hold a best gift God has given us that we can use for the blessing of the Holy One? Amen.